Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the week again, time for another professionally questionable episode. This week's episode is fantastic. John Milliard, Pappy's Pizza. At the same time, I want to let you know that if you have any real estate needs at all, please, please don't hesitate to contact Tom Villamere. It's funny because it's myself. Email me at tvillamere@kw.com. tvillamere@kw.com. I also want to take this time to thank a couple people and do a quick shout out. I want to thank Brian Lawrence and the Beacon Building right on 814 Elm Street. Beautiful place. www.manchesterinklink.com for great news and for letting us use the studio and also promoting our show. Make sure to check them out. Red Arrow Properties, Brady Sullivan Properties, and a quick shout out to Clean Scene Pressure Washing. Clean Scene Pressure Washing is owned by a young entrepreneur and they do fantastic work. Please, if you have any pressure washing needs, call 603-210-3347 and ask to speak to Ben Susi. Soon enough, we're going to be starting our YouTube channel. Luke Booten, our partner, is away right now in Utah helping teaching kids snowboarding. He's going to be posting a bunch of content, and Eddie Susi and myself will be posting content as well. Make sure to check us out. Also, want to help sponsor this show? I want you to email us at pquestionablepod@gmail.com. With any inquiries, please enjoy this episode.
This is professionally questionable.
You think you're some sort of philosopher, some sort of question asker. You think you're professionally questionable, don't you?
Big guest on the podcast today, Tommy. Who we got?
Well, this is a little bit of a, you know, we've really been trying to get this guy for some time now. Honestly, ever since we started even talking about it.
I remember you talking about him pretty much from the get-go.
Yep. We're getting the owner, the new owner of Pappy's Pizza today.
I'm stoked. I couldn't be more happy. We're talking to John Milliard? Milliard?
We'll get the
lowdown when he gets here.
Yeah, but no, I think probably for people that don't understand what Pappy's is, like who don't go to Manchester a lot, whether you're wherever you are, Pappy's is a...
That's like a staple. It really is.
It's a true Manchester staple. Honestly, New Hampshire staple in general.
I would say it's Red Arrow, Pappy's Pizza. They're like almost tied up, if not very close.
Yeah, we might be getting it dicey with Puritan right
now. I mean, yeah. No, Red Arrow is the best. Come to the Beacon Building and buy Red Arrow. But yeah. Pappy's is up there. Whole different game.
Yeah, whole different game. But no, I have strong remembrance of, you know, cutting some lawns and being tired and getting a fantastic, like, steak bomb or something.
The twirling sign.
Did you ever get the Boom Boom sauce?
Dude, the Boom Boom sauce. You have to get the Boom Boom sauce.
We got to ask John if he's keeping the Boom Boom sauce. Dude. I don't know if he is. I've been here. Honestly, have you been here yet to the new Pappy's?
I have been to the new Pappy's. I went for some research purposes.
Did you? Yep.
Fantastic.
Same with me.
Let me tell you. Hang on real quick.
Yeah.
You get a steak and cheese barbecue style? Forget about it. That shit smacks.
Okay. I've never heard of this.
Okay. Ready? Bun. Well, hoagie. Sub roll. Cheese. Steak. This is where it gets wild. So hold on. Barbecue sauce in there. Fire. So good.
All right. Next time I'm going in, I'm going to get a steak and cheese buffalo style, though.
Oh, that might be wild.
That might be fantastic.
But Pappy's does it. And so today we're talking to John. And John, early on, was referred to as the toast boy, the boy who put the toast in the toasters back in the day at Pappy's. So he's been there for a while. And then he took it over from the family now and is under his new ownership. And I really say he's revitalized it. Being in there, it looks great.
Yeah. No, and when I walked in, I was like, holy cow. I remember the old red tile floor and it's nice and clean. Yep. Now, not saying it wasn't clean before, but it's nice and it's just new.
It's brighter in there. That was a good word that was used in the article, was it's brighter. And that's definitely something you recognize when you walk in there.
I completely agree.
So, yep, we're excited. We have so much to dive into with John today on Professionally Questionable. So without further ado, here we go.
Hey,
Yeah, no one was using this place, and we were like,
are you serious?
Yeah, and yeah.
I always believe good things happen to good people. And how crazy is it that you guys have this passion, and it's just sitting here, and it's and they open the world up to you guys.
Yeah. You know. No, it's we sat down with them, with the owner Brian Lawrence and Inklink and the owner of Red Arrow too.
Yeah.
We sat down with them and we were like, we really want to do a podcast, and they were all for it. So they're going to let us post it on their website and whatnot too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. No,
I like your idea in terms of when you first reached out and you're like, all right, well, from a subject matter, what can we do to create content? You know, and a lot of people just in terms of loyal Manchesterites or whatever, like, okay, who, what, when, where, let's create a list, you know, and you never give up on it. So.
Yeah, I know. I've been known to kind of be a little bit of a pastor sometimes.
You take anybody in this world and the grease, what does it say? The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
Always remember that in business. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know, persistence, perseverance pays off. So.
Yeah, and so many people I talked to were like, who the hell's the new owner of Pappy's? Because everyone knows Pappy's in Manchester. Well,
the interesting, the interesting thing is Manchester Information, who has, and you guys may want to get there one day in terms of your goals and your drive, is he has almost 100,000 followers, and he reached out and being a friend of Pappy's, and he's like, while Pappy's was being remodeled, the number one question on his Facebook page was, when is Pappy's reopening? You know, and it's like, it is a landmark. So
I saw the sign and I was like, are they done for? And then I saw the reopening sign. I was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, I know there was like rumors for a while. They're like, is Pappy's going to become a Mexican restaurant? And I remember everyone was just hurt. They're like, what's going on? There's
The union leader created that confusion because the way their headline, when they ran the post on on new restaurants on Elm Street, the headline says Pappy's reopening Mexican restaurant coming, and people naturally, the psychology of how things trickle down, the waterfall effect, they don't read the actual article.
No,
and it was actually two different articles. One's Pappy's and the Mexican restaurant's on this end of the town. Pappy's is on the other end of town, and and everything gets blown out of, just like you thought, Pappy's is a Mexican restaurant now.
You can adjust that mic however you want to.
So I feel like this is a great segue. We're rolling right now, so this is a great segue into everything. And so why don't you introduce us, the viewers, to who you are?
All right, so my name is John Milliard. I grew up here in Manchester, New Hampshire, three blocks away from Pappy's Pizza. And I was one of my first jobs there in high school. And grew up in a large family with not much. worked my way through high school. Put myself through college in Orlando, Florida. And I always stayed in touch with the family and came back home. And Pappy's Pizza is my passion project. And my passion project and the goal is to do all the great things Pappy's and the Pappy's family did. The Pappy's family didn't keep that legacy going.
That was actually something that I was very proud. We were talking about it before you came on. Like, Pappy's is a staple of Manchester and almost New Hampshire. We were saying, like, you know, Red Arrow and Pappy's are very much the same in my mind. So how important do you feel that keeping that legacy alive is?
Well, the key is Pappy's is was founded by Ron Pappas. Just to step back a little bit. The gentleman was bound to a wheelchair, was victim of a DUI accident. And he started, you know, he was a teacher at Memorial High School. His father was in the deli business. Put the business aside. This time of year is prom, graduations. He spent countless years in speeches in front of junior high schools and high school audiences, going around teaching anti-DUI drinking and driving. Who knows how many lives he has saved, right? Coming back to Pappy's Pizza, he was a community ambassador. He's done so much for local charities. Pizzas was almost like a beacon for him to help him reach as a community reach out. So going back to the legacy of Pappy's Pizza, my mind's getting off track, is I want to keep those good things, those good deeds, that virtue moving forward. You know, with in using Pappy's in the legacy that he's done and what he's done for the community, for the Queen City Beautiful. I just want to carry that legacy forward.
I love that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. No, so being, you know, you started, what age did you start working there?
Yeah, so that was a funny story. So I made my, Ron was short on pizza boxes. All my siblings, I had six siblings. We grew up 3 blocks away on Myrtle and Elm Street.
Okay, yep.
And I used to run over. My first day on the job was 14 years old making pizza boxes. My second day on the job was on the line. He was short on the breakfast. He needed a toast boy. So he broke every child labor law. I guess in the 80s, I guess you can get away with it. Now, it's a totally different work environment.
Right.
But I think he saw a little potential in me and threw me out there. And today I make the absolute best toast, the best crunchy toast, the best English muffin. I butter it all the way to the edges. I have extended experience.
Love that.
By being a toast boy at Pappy's Pizza. But he taught me a lot. Like, little do you realize when you're surrounded by a mentor, you don't realize little attributes that people give or are coaching you or sharing with you at the time. You think you just, you know, you want to be a good listener, a good learner. And he shared, I mean, reflecting back, I remember a few stories that he shared. One was, he said, John, bring that pepperoni pizza around here. And he took the pepperonis off my pizza that I was making on the cook line, and he re-pepperonied it. And he counted the pepperonis, and he said, look, you have 6 extra pepperonis. Now, if you made pizzas for me, every pizza for me, all year long, around the clock, you know how many extra pepperonis I could pepperoni every pizza? So he taught me indirectly, was teaching me food cost. It's like, hey, I was just thinking, hey, I love the customers. They're going to love me because I'm going to give them extra pepperoni. But it doesn't work like that, you know. It doesn't work like that. So, another example that he gave me was, I remember where I was working the breakfast line, and there's a phrase in the service industry that if you lean, you have time to clean.
Yep, mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Yeah, and I was leaning. I was definitely leaning. I was daydreaming, and I was just zoning out, and I just looked outside, and it was morning time. And I looked out, and there was Ron sitting in his wheelchair, looking as a spectator outside, looking in. And he caught me. He caught me slacking off. Mm. And in slow motion, I remember to this day, he took the tip of his index finger, and he slowly let it disappear into his nose. And it snapped me out of my daydreaming, and I was like, I will never lean ever again.
That's because hilarious.
He caught me red-handed, like literally slacking off, and I totally get it. And he didn't say anything to me. It's like, it was just like what a mentor does. He just came on in and went about his business, and I knew right then and there I should have been doing something with myself at that moment. And there's so many other stories like that other people who are in the Pappy's family tree of employees where he's taught so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? And I'm just curious too. So we always talk about work ethic, and obviously, I've worked for Brady Sullivan for a very long time since I was in high school, and I would have kids come in, leave, you know, whether it's a week later or a couple months later. You starting at 14 years old, what gave you that drive to say, okay, I'm going to keep working and keep going with this? Because I feel like so many kids nowadays would have been like, you know, one mess up or one time they didn't like it and would have, you know, hit the door.
Yeah, and that still happens. And it's, and we all in life get, I use the word tested. And sometimes in life we do things that we don't have to do, or it's nice to do things in life that we want to do. And on a personal note, I grew up with 6 siblings, not much. Mm-hmm. And my mother, on a personal note, she ultimately raised the kids single-handedly, like most kids in the Manchester community. Many kids are challenged.
Yeah.
And when you get challenged, or anyone gets challenged with adversity, you can either say bring it on, and it builds grit in your soul, or you can succumb to it. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I had to provide. Every one of my siblings had to basically essentially help my mother and and provide for ourselves if we needed school supplies or anything in the household. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a want, it was a need, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And with that came a sacrifice. You know, I didn't play high school sports like I wanted to. It's the biggest regret. I say this to anyone and everyone out there, put yourself out there. You know, we didn't have that parental support. Like, again, like a lot of kids in the Manchester yeah. community right. don't have. It's an adversity. And it's what you do with it is ultimately up to you. I said to myself, luckily, in my personal situation, I had a close family friend whose dad went to college. I got exposure to a different quality of mm-hmm. living, and that is the need for education. And I said to myself, if I don't go to college, I will never be anybody. Mm-hmm. So I had to put myself on a track to put myself through college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and with that, just to get gas and, you know, save for a car, save for just everyday spending. My mother needed a gallon of milk in the fridge. It's like whatever we had, that kept me going. Yeah. I had no choice. I couldn't quit.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So, you know, you're working at Pappy's. You go on and you go to college. What college was it that you said?
University of Central Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
So I'll give an example. This is why I admire Ron so much. I'm like a 10th grader, 11th grader in high school. I don't get the parental support in terms of the dialogue. Again, going back to many kids, the word college was never discussed in our household. Mm-hmm. Ron Pappas says to me, John, what do you plan on doing after high school? I says, I don't know. One day I want to go to college. I just don't know how. And I don't know. Hold on.
You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, let me think. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm strong. This. Yeah. This is where the emotional attachment comes in mm-hmm. because I get weak in this moment.
No. Yeah. We get good. It.
Yeah.
All right. So. All right. Hold on. Ooh. Okay. Okay. So. He says, "No, you're gonna go to college," and who does this? The guy takes a couple of days out of his schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We hop in his car. We go to, he goes, what college are you interested in? What do you want to do? I'm like, possibly law. He goes, we're going to go to Franklin Pierce College. Mm-hmm. We're going to meet with the admissions people. We're going to get you an offer letter. Get your high school, all the criteria together. It's like he was, in essence, the father figure a father should be. Mm-hmm. When he did things he didn't have to do. And I'm not the only person. He's done this for so much. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's like that type of value, even though I didn't go to Franklin Pierce, I see the package and I just simply learned the cost of higher education is much higher in New England. Once I established residency in the state of Florida, I could put myself through school at a much more lower cost. That's the only reason why I went to the University of Central Florida. Uh-huh. But that exposure, that willingness, that mentorship, that coaching, who that gentleman was on the inside, you know, who the Pappas family is, who the St. Jean family is in terms of their kindness and the respect that they've done for so much. It was just a tremendous, unique opportunity to circle back around. And again, the common goal is to keep this legacy moving forward. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And it totally makes, you know, now I get definitely a better picture of it. Like this was a man who saw something in you and mm-hmm. he pushed you in ways that no one else really was. And so, of course, you want to reciprocate that and keep that in the community of Manchester. And I don't know if you know, like, kind of what we're about here at this podcast is we want to highlight those things in the community. We feel like sometimes, I mean, in every community, it tends to lack or people feel isolated. And mm-hmm. so I got to say, I really admire that about, you know, Ron doing that for you. Mm-hmm. And then as well as you continuing that on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's like... there's not many landmark restaurants in a community where mm-hmm. someone says, hey, do you know where this restaurant is? Or have you heard of this restaurant before? In the accounting world, it's called Goodwill. You mm-hmm. know? Uh-huh. And like you mentioned earlier, the Red Arrow, that's one of them. Obviously, the biggest one is the Back Room, the Puritan. Right. But again, the other one is Pappy's Pizza. It means so much to so many... It's truly a landmark restaurant. It's not just a pizza shop, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. And it means a lot to a lot of people based on the memories, you know, being able to say, oh, there's a lot of people can think of being in that dining room and you sit down just like you can today and you reflect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it brings back the opportunity to sit down and reflect or bring back memories. Is very is offers perspective that we all lose each and every day.
Definitely.
What truly matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you're gonna get a slice of pizza at Pappy's Pizza, but it the chance to find places to sit down and look around and share a memory that you maybe dine there with your father or you dine there with your mother that are that maybe they're no longer present today. You know, mm-hmm. these little things that really value most or what should value most to everyone. Mm-hmm. Pappy's truly offers that. There is a memory of the Pappas or the St. Jean family that people truly appreciate. And Pappy's is in a place to still offer that now moving
mm-hmm.
forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom always tells a story. So I actually, Kasha was my second yeah. lawn customer. I started a little lawn mowing business.
Yes.
And she was diagonal from the neighbor. And one day, my mom was helping me mow all these lawns that I had to do. And we went into Pappy's for lunch, and she was working behind the counter. And she yells in front of the whole restaurant, oh, your mom's doing your lawns with you today. I saw it. And my mom loves telling that story. And I sat there, and my face got all red and stuff. But no, she was a fantastic person. Fantastic.
Akasha, I have a lot of respect for. I worked with her. There's not many people on earth who truly have given their entire life and career to one place, 40 plus years, you know, Kasha St. Jean, the sister to Ron Pappas, she dedicated herself. She is truly, when I think of Kasha, she's like the Cheers of the sitcom.
yeah.
Where everybody knows your name. Mm-hmm. You could not be, if you missed going into Pappas for a year or two, and you walked in, she remembers your name.
Uh-huh.
She has that unique talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I just a lot of respect to that sense of loyalty, you know, and her brother Scott, same thing. The dedication and caring Pappy's when Ron passed away, Scott Pappas, both Scott and Kasha doing Pappy's Pizza the best they possibly can. I truly admire their devotion, dedication, and their work ethic. They dedicated their entire lives to that mm-hmm. to that business.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. No, and I know it was definitely probably a super emotional thing when you finally got the chance to buy it. But before that, you know, you graduate college, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts going? Obviously, your thoughts yeah. were they weren't to buy Pappy's.
No. I used to, like many people do, I had the, you know, I said to myself, when I put myself through school, I said, I have two choices. I can just go out job hunting here, or I can always move back. When people, we're all creatures of habit. We get into our comfort zone, and a lot of people don't want to put themselves out there. But when I graduated school, I said, I can always move back. Let me see what I can do here in the Orlando community and see if there's an opportunity, you mm-hmm. know. So... So for me, I used to come back to visit family, and like many people do, oh, I hear it like even now. I'm in town. I'm out of college. I'm on college break. I got to swing into Pappy's.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get the chicken tenders or the steak and cheese or a slice of pizza. And they just love going back to Pappy's. Yeah. So that was me. And just stopping in the Pappy's, I would always see Scott. I would always see Kasha and Ron at the time early on, and it, I was always just thankful and grateful and just giving back as a customer.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, but I got that opportunity in Orlando. I joined a restaurant startup group. They only had a few restaurants in the state of Florida. They had a great vision to want to grow. And that grit that I learned as a kid working for Pappy's, I said, now all I need is my opportunity. I want to show my work ethic. I want to show that I deserve the opportunity. And an Italian gentleman hired me. He was the owner and founder of this restaurant group. And he said, only because your mother's Italian, I'm going to hire you and try you out. And you got to have the willingness to clean the bathrooms on Saturdays.
Yep.
Were you the youngest one at the time?
I'm in the middle. I was the middle child.
Okay, yep.
And you got to have the willingness to kill to clean the bathrooms on a Saturday. So it's a whatever it takes mentality. I don't care if, you want this. I need you because I didn't go to college. I don't know how to turn on a computer,
mm-hmm.
but I need someone who I'm going to put you to the test. And then 30 days later, he's like, hey, I'm still testing you. And it confused me. He goes, you got to show me what you got or I'm going to fire you. And I didn't understand even the concept of someone telling me I'm going to get fired 30 days after I got hired. I was like, wait, I've already gotten hired. Why is he telling me he
wants to get fired? What's going on here?
But he was just challenging me. He's very similar to what mm-hmm. Ron did. He was a good coach, a good mentor, and we ended up growing this restaurant chain to 75 restaurants wow. in 17 states. I had you get out in life, you get out. Everything applies to everybody. You get out what you put into anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the more you put into something, the more you can get out. And in reflecting back. we built a success story, but at the same time, there's always opportunities to learn, you know, in everything mm-hmm. we do, you know, and even though in my particular case, work-life balance was a huge sacrifice. You know, mm-hmm. yes, I had great. When you grow up with not much, you want to earn and you have a yearn to get more. Mm-hmm. And it fortunately it put me in a place to as I came back and reflect that restaurant experience mm-hmm. leading a team of 600 employees I learned real estate, I learned accounting, I learned corporate operations, I learned construction, I learned development, I learned administration, I learned everything that it takes to run a restaurant group. So mm-hmm. that's an indirect benefit in terms of coming back and looking at my roots in again from a passion project. You see a great brand, a great brand in Pappy's and what mm-hmm. it means to the community, and it's like you see it's a diamond in the rough that it's like, okay, it's truly when I took possession in October, it was truly a time machine. At the time, yeah. you could walk into Pappy's and it was 1982. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It was tired, you yeah. know, and it's like, and I'm like, can I utilize, this is a challenge in anybody who has normal business sense. And you look at a potential business opportunity, it had every writing on the wall to say, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Do not make this investment. Your time and energy in your ROI is not present. And what I mean by that is, you never, number one, is the first deal breaker when you invest in anything is are you emotionally attached? You never make an investment yeah. based on an emotional attachment. Mm-hmm. Strike, yes, check, yes, I'm emotionally attached. Okay, that's hurdle number one. Hurdle number two is the restaurant business the right business to be in at this time? No, it's not the right business to be in at this time because why? All if you read any service industry or articles, everyone knows, you see it in the grocery store, you see other restaurants, the food costs mm-hmm. are rising through the roof. And I always believe you want to deliver value to the consumer. Mm-hmm. And how do I balance that? Food costs are extremely high. Timing, is the timing right based on food costs? No, check that off, you shouldn't do it. Third one that comes up, respectfully so. we're in the middle of COVID. You know, mm-hmm. and we're still balancing those challenges of the pandemic. So the timing as it relates to COVID, is it the right time? No, check that off. Then the next one is, okay, now the people, I always believe everything requires in any work environment, including things on the home front, is you can only be as good as the people you have around you. Synergy and teamwork, positivity mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. everything, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of not just work culture, but how things are exchanged in everyone's personal lives. You should always be supportive and with positivity daily. So with that, I was forewarned, you know, in the community, just like many places, is the labor shortage. Mm-hmm. There's a huge shortage. And I was like, I really feel with the culture that I want to bring to the table, I can step up and with positivity and delivering what my team deserves, I can bring the people to Pappy's. Even with that being said, there's still, no matter how much you put yourself out there, there is a labor challenge. Mm-hmm. There right. is a labor shortage, you know. So, and then the fourth item was very similar. Pappy's is like very similar to, I'll use, if it's the year 1982, the restaurant was open for 40 years. It never realized a remodel. Mm-hmm. It was overdue for a remodel. So it was very similar to it's like anyone who has a passion for classic cars. And you look at the car almost like in the junkyard on cinder blocks, and you know you can restore that
yeah.
car.
Yeah.
And you like, and you have a passion for the 1982 Trans Am. I'm using that as a metaphor for Pappy's. Mm-hmm. It was a 1982 Trans Am on cinder blocks that desperately had potential. And you look at it, and there was just one little gleam of sparkle reflecting off of the hood from the sunlight. Uh-huh. And you see the vision of, oh, I can put that Firebird right back on that hood. I can get yes. this. I can get that thing. I can get that thing fired up, rumbling, and turn it into a roaring machine because mm-hmm. I know I can do it. You know, I don't care about the COVID challenges. I don't care about the labor challenges. I don't care about rising food costs. Bring it, you know. And then I'm going to buy it. You find that you work with the owners of the family because you drove that 1982 Firebird.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's turned into it is tired, you know, mm-hmm. and you're like, no. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to haul it out of the junkyard, and I'm going to restore this thing. And the more the people tell me no, is the more I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah, the more you want to do it. Yeah.
And there's a phrase in life. They say if it's easy, everybody would be doing mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So I know, and I got a great team at Pappy's. I got a positive team. I got people who believe in good culture. I got people who believe in the vision of Pappy's. And I can only be as good as the people that I have around me. Each member of the Pappy's team can only be as good as those that they have around them. So I'm very, very thankful mm-hmm. and grateful for them. But going back to restoring that car, I popped the hood, and based on my experience, I'm thinking initially, okay, I see that it needs spark plugs. It needs a muffler. Okay, it just needs a little catalytic converter. Okay. I think I got this. And then you get possession, and then you really get underneath the hood, and you get you get going. You're like, oh my gosh, this thing needs a whole new engine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's rusted out.
This needs a frame off restoration.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And as you're like, okay, it's not no longer a short term. This is going to be a long, very long term mm-hmm. investment. Mm-hmm. You know, so that goes back to saying, hey, Pappy's has been here for 40 years. It's going to be here another 40 years, and I'm going to do this thing right. So. Mm-hmm. I did that frame off restoration, mm-hmm. you know, and that Pappy's menu is all the great things that Kasha, Scott, and Ron brought to the table, including mm-hmm. Ron's father, Nick. He goes way back in the community to Eagle mm-hmm. Fruit on Bridge Street and Elm Street that mm-hmm. that the older generations come in the Pappy's and reflect on. I'm like, I'm going to bring that virtue to the table yeah. too. I'm going to do all the great things that they've done and keep that going and focus on my restaurant experience, what other upside opportunities that I can bring to the table. So
I'm sure there for the family it was probably a little bit of an uneasiness. Who's going to be the new owner? Is someone going to carry on the legacy? Are they going to do God knows what with it? How happy were they with you when they found out that you were the one that was going to be buying it? And
I give Scott, respectfully so, was at a time of retirement and mm-hmm. wanted to spend more time with his grandkids yeah. and his lovely family. And Kasha reached a point where she was ready to retire. She welcomed a new granddaughter. And I think they knew they could have sold it to anyone who could have just, you know, changed the lock on the door.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You know, and then ran Pappy's the way it was. And there are operators, I'm sure, in the community who would have done just that mm-hmm. to say, what's the path of least resistance, mm-hmm. you know? And, but I do thank them for, giving me the opportunity, and I told them I wouldn't let them down. Mm-hmm. So Mm-hmm. My word is my everything. Mm-hmm. So, and I think when, when the time is right, they, you know, that where they've stepped away and they're enjoying retirement, and they're obviously welcome back in anytime with wide open arms. Arms are always wide open. Mm-hmm. So just driving by Pappy's, and anyone can see that there's the positive change has been made, you know?
Yeah. No, I respect that hustle so much. And I feel like too, just by, you know, hearing you talk about how great of a person Ron was there some sort of almost like an obligation, like a responsibility where you were like, I want to take it over, you know, out of all these good things that Ron has done for me, I want to take it over and, you know, carry on his legacy even.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like people say, there's a way of giving back. And you do it, there's ways you can give back directly, and mm-hmm. there's ways you can give back indirectly, mm-hmm. you know, and I think with Pappy's, you know, using, you know, Pappy's as that beacon, you know, as that place where everyone can come together, I'm doing it indirectly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. I have to go back a little bit. I have to compliment you. When I walk into Pappy's, everyone's smiling. I've had great conversations with the, you know, the cashiers, even the people cooking, they'll, you know, throw a little joke in there, and it's fantastic. Yeah. How important do you feel, or how much of that is attributed to, you think, like good leadership?
Leadership is probably similar to a reflection of what Ron did with me. Ron had metaphors or words of inspiration mm-hmm. throughout his kitchen. Mm-hmm. Pappy's is a rare restaurant in the sense that not many restaurants have an open kitchen where you can basically sit in the dining room. You can hear the spatula clanking, but yeah. you can also walk through and see the kitchen. You know, you can sit at the bar and watch the cooks cook.
Yep.
One of the things that I did at Pappy's in terms of the remodel, where Ron's desk was in the back of the house, I it's approximately 16 feet long by, I don't know, 3.5 feet tall. I turned it into a panoramic window. Mm-hmm. So people mm-hmm. could not only see the kitchen from the dining room, but walking up the sidewalk, you can actually look into the kitchen.
Yes, yeah.
And see. And the kitchen's on full exposure. You know, I want to have a clean kitchen view. Mm-hmm. I want people to see the cleanliness and see the vibrance, see the working mm-hmm. kitchen. Obviously, I wanted to pay homage to Ron Pappas and where his desk was. There's a heart outside his desk. Mm-hmm. But going back to the positive energy and the leadership is... positivity is for me is everything. Every new job candidate, I say the same thing. You can have the best resume. You can have service industry experience. I like to use, going back to the car example, you can, every car looks shiny and pretty on the outside. Mm. It's until you test drive the car. I want you to come to work happy. And it's my job in bringing the right culture to Pappy's that you come happy, you leave happier. Mm-hmm. Chef Pappy is like a happy Pappy. Yeah. I truly think he was the first in 1982 when emojis did not exist. Yeah. The logo of Pappy's.
I'm looking at you on your shirt right now. Yeah.
That
iconic.
He was, this is an iconic logo, right? Mm-hmm. And he's a happy Pappy emoji, Chef Pappy,
yeah.
when iPhones didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And that culture of positivity, this is everything. I just want people to be happy, to be giddy, to enjoy mm-hmm. themselves. Let your shoulders down. We're here for you. Total teamwork and camaraderie. And, you know, people do have, it's a human tendency to have... to gossip or to be condescending, to be negative, to bring your personal life or your drama to the workplace. No, my goal is I want the exact opposite mm-hmm. of those scenarios. It's truly a fine line of emotional intelligence. You know, it's like, you know, there is that phrase where gossip is truly toxic. It's toxic energy. And if people are having a bad day, it's gonna affect the ultimate customer experience mm-hmm. that I'm trying to deliver Definitely. To every person. Mm-hmm. And I can't deliver that customer experience if people in the workplace are having bad days. My yeah. goal is if you're having a bad day, let's fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, let's deliver an exceptional product of great quality for value and leave people with a happy face. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my goal. So Pappy's is a family restaurant. Going back to leadership, trickling off of that in terms of upside when I'm trying to deliver to Pappy. It's a family restaurant. Little ideas that I've gotten along the way of restaurant experiences. I want every kid to get a free cake pop. If you come in to Pappy's, you know.
I like that. Yeah, yeah.
Starbucks made cake pops addicting, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Uh-huh. How many times, times have you been to Starbucks and you've seen a little kid order a cake pop? They're $3 cake pops. I don't care. That's what Starbucks charges for them. I want every kid to get a free cake pop.
Yeah.
I like to see their eyes lit up, you know? Yeah. That's the family side restaurant. And then in terms of upside, in today's world with social media, we have Instagrammable moments.
Right.
So I got some signage that's up there inside the dining room where you can truly take your picture in front of some neon signage or outside where there's going to be some signage that, you know, for some family picture taking that is really unique and creative that people can post on their social media.
Yeah.
You know, going back to that parking lot, but that was one of the renovation items that needed to be redone. But it was truly like the pitfall of the great what they call that show on CBS. But it was, I think.
There
was,
oh yeah, dine-ins, drive-ins, and dives.
The American Horror Story.
Oh, that could be. It was like I think there was over 100 potholes.
It's funny because growing up, I totally ringing true.
You needed to hopscotch through the potholes to reach the front door of Pappy's.
Yeah.
And then, but this was also the interesting thing. Even when that, and I'll go back to the upside of Pappy's in a minute, but it's. I knew people have a deep passion for Pappy's because even when I was remodeling it and I had to demolish that parking lot, and I'm like, I got to bring a new parking lot and a new sidewalk for patio seating and outdoor seating to Pappy's. And at one point when that entire parking lot and sidewalk was demolished, it was about a 3-foot step from the dirt to get into the patio vestibule, the front entrance of Pappy's. And I can't tell you how many people pulled into the dirt parking lot while we were closed trying to make the 3-foot step into Pappy's Pizza.
Yeah.
And we're completely closed with no lights.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to come inside. I'm not sure what's going on here, but we're going to make it inside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if they're willing to come into Pappy's while it's under a complete demolition, I know there's a lot of heart and faith.
Yeah.
In the patronage is here. Mm-hmm. We just got to get this sparkle back.
Yeah.
Did you have any feelings? I mean, you took a big, you know, leap of faith kind of buying Pappy's and whatnot. Was there any times throughout the whole renovation process and what were you were like, Whew. Where you were kind of like, I just want to walk away.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a phenomenal question. And I want to answer it because in this way, because I use what you just said as an example with my employees. Mm-hmm. We all have a bad day at work. Mm-hmm. And the bigger picture is someone told me one day, as long as the good days outnumber the bad days, that's what matters most, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you want to enjoy what you do, have a passion for it, and really appreciate it. And I'm happy. I want people to have a heart. I truly want to give back to all the employees in a way that Ron gave back to me. I want them... If they know one item on the cook line, I want them to learn and grow and be cross-trained and learn the entire cook line. If they have an interest in culinary, let me help you grow and learn that interest in culinary. If you, in terms of upside, I've added a beer, wine, and liquor. So if people want to learn bartending to grow their resume, I want to teach you. I want to give you that opportunity if you have a curiosity to be a mixologist, you know. But... this is the biggest thing. I got tested so many times. Mm-hmm. We all get tested. Mm-hmm. I use that word so many times. The moments of frustration where, like in the service industry, where many people have taken their apron off, thrown it down on the floor, and walked out. And my inner voice so many times, like that parking lot with those 100 potholes and all in the interior of Pappy's under a complete remodel, and people challenging me by saying you've entered into a complete money pit, and I said to myself, are they right? Am I? And the inner voice says, are they right? And you get tested over and over and over again. And then here comes that adversity. And you reflect back in the walls of Pappy's. I'm experiencing that childhood adversity of people saying, you should never have done this. You should have never have done it. You can't do this. Mm-hmm. You put way too much on your plate. Mm-hmm. The no's, the naysayers, right? And even my own checklist. John, you knew that inner voice. You knew you shouldn't have done it. You don't do things with an emotional attachment. You don't do things when it's in the middle of COVID. Interest rates are rising. Labor costs and food costs are rising. That adversity. And I said, hey, goes right back to, if it was easy, everyone was saying,
right.
Everyone would do it, right? And I said, okay, now I've got adversity. I've got no's. I've got the inner voice saying, what do you want to do with it? And then luckily, you build the other side of the inner voice. You build your internal fortitude that says, you hear those voices? It's very similar to someone who wants to go on a diet. And that inner voice says, nah, come on, let's just eat some more Snickers. Let's skip that walk. Let's sit back and enjoy some more sitcoms and grab a pint of ice cream. That inner voice that says, no, we ain't doing no ice cream. We ain't doing no Snickers. Get your freaking backside off this couch and we're going to walk 2 miles. You got to build that inner fortitude that says, I hear you. Shut the F up. Mm-hmm. Pardon my language.
No, that's fine.
And I'm like, this is me being tested. So I'll go to my employees. I'm like, hey, you had a bad day. You had a bad moment. We got two two-hour rushes. Everything in life is temporary. What you do with it is up to you. You right? So now, who do I look upon? Who gets away? This is Pappy's, and I'm just trying to bring Sparkle back to an amazing landmark for the Queen City Beautiful.
Yeah.
I know there's a finish line. I know there's light at the tunnel. I know I'm going to get tested. And I recognize those voices, and I build that inner strength, you know, from being challenged before. And I believe in myself. But I also look to other people who say, in life, like on the drive over here today, there was a car accident. This goes back to perspective and reflection and what we should value most. What truly matters? Who gets tested more than me remodeling a restaurant that means a lot to the community? People have medical and health challenges each and every day.
Right.
In other words, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist, where it goes back to that condescending, negative, toxic, gossiping behavior? There's people who have health challenges. There's people who will be in a car. So we witnessed one today, you know, where the airbag was exposed and now they're on the way to the hospital. And it's like, hey, I'm being tested, but I also have many, many things to be grateful for and thankful for. You know, there's people who have, you know, medical challenges or going through hardships or going through other things, you know. And then on the flip side, there's other people, let's say even in the business world, who get attacked, who get trolled, who get criticized, and then they get tested 100 times more than I do, you know. you can look at politicians. You can look at people and whoever on social media, and it's what you do with that negativity or that toxicity or that criticism of people who want to bring you down, you know, who want to talk negative about you and say, I told you so, you shouldn't have done it. Well, I'm going to tell you so. These doors are going to open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they did open. And then now it's a goal of, okay, I know I can't deliver perfectionism like I'd like to each and every customer, and there's hiccups, and we may bat a 275, we're going to get the 300. Our goal is to have 100% customer satisfaction, delivering, again, a quality product with value, with great customer service. so again, it goes back to the answer to your question. I know it was a long version, but it's
I loved it.
The key is listen to your inner voice, turn the trolls off, turn the critics off, build your internal fortitude, and remind yourself what could be worse. And then I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm almighty. What could be, who gets more challenged than I am being challenged right now? And then you look up to those people, You know, people obviously rare. It could be business-minded people like an Elon Musk or Donald Trump or Joe Biden in politics. There's always going to be politics where people get attacked, mm-hmm. and they get challenged every day. And you build that inner strength, you know. And so I try to share that. I just had a chit chat with three of my key people at Pappy's, mm-hmm. where they had temporary moments of frustration. Mm-hmm. And this is a very powerful, powerful word. And let's talk it through. Let's communicate. What caused that temporary moment of frustration where you wanted to, where you got tested? You wanted to wave the white flag. Maybe you wanted to walk out. But could you have communicated something? Mm-hmm. To just share it. It's mm-hmm. it's very similar to your partner at home. If you're feeling emotions that are not positive, some people harbor them, you know. From an emotional intelligence standpoint, some people call that, let's say, what's the word? Passive aggressive, where mm-hmm. you just harbor the feelings. It builds up toxicity in your soul. You don't vent. You don't communicate, and you end up angry. And you're not happy. But if you just communicate, you communicate in a positive, harmonious way. Mm-hmm. To say, okay, what bothered you today? What's on your mind? How can we fix it? And how we fix it, is it sensible to everyone? You know, and the communication is a very, very mm-hmm. powerful tool. A lot of people forget to do it and use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally agree. I think that if I think back to all the best bosses that I've had, each one of them, that was their first, you know, priority was, okay, how can I help you? Like, how can we talk and go over things? And it seems like when someone doesn't do that, like you're saying, you're explaining it beautifully, it starts to fail. And it's like, and then if I feel resentment towards my boss or my superior, then I'm going to lash out at work. You know what I mean? Whereas if I feel like I'm heard and I feel like I'm communicated with, I'm going to want to perform better.
It's a very powerful word, heard. It's actually used in the service industry when you're calling mm-hmm. out orders. And mm-hmm. and everyone needs to feel appreciated. They need to feel heard. They mm-hmm. need to know that there's an open door policy. Goes back to arms wide open. Mm-hmm. And don't keep those feelings within. You know, it's like, okay, you're feeling negative feelings. What's concerning? Please, I want you to share. Because if it's an opportunity to improve you and your work atmosphere, I truly feel it's an opportunity to improve Pappy's. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal here. I want to know the hiccups of everything that went. Obviously, I see what goes right. I focus on what is not going as right as it could be, can be, mm-hmm. and let's communicate and improve those things. By improving, it creates a better workplace atmosphere, builds better cohesion, builds mm-hmm. better teamwork, builds positivity, builds smiles, laughter, and appreciation, and all those intangibles that go with it. Yeah, it's a very, very, communication is a very powerful tool, one used, you know, constructively and correctly.
Well, John, you sound extremely busy. I'm curious, can you walk me through like what a typical day for you looks like?
I was gonna ask the same thing, yeah.
Okay, so I still live in Florida.
Okay,
so that was another challenge.
Yeah.
But going back to my work experience, and very similar to, maybe use one of the biggest examples of the restaurant companies in this world, is like McDonald's. McDonald's grew to one of the biggest companies. Obviously, they have a popular product that they deliver with value, with good customer service, and they do it with organization and structure and processes. Mm-hmm. So when we built a restaurant chain from a couple of restaurants locally to 75 restaurants in 17 states, we did it with organization, structure, and processes. Mm-hmm. So very similar to McDonald's and the Big Mac, using those tools, if you go to California and get a Big Mac, you're going to get the same tasting product in New Hampshire on mm-hmm. South Willow Street, mm-hmm. right? And they have a headquarters there in Illinois, and they execute that organization and structure from the hub of Illinois. You know, so that was one of the other challenges. Besides, as I mentioned prior, that I'm 1,300 miles away. How am I going to pull this off?
Right.
And can I utilize organization, structure, and processes to be able to execute? And possibly, can I get the tip of using a boat using Pappy's as a boat. I want it, okay, it's floating and it's stuck and there's a couple holes in it and it's almost sinking. That was the business of Pappy's in October, where I had a boat that was sinking. I needed to repair this boat or restore this car, and now I'm in a position and I got to get this boat and the tip of the boat running, idling, and now I want to get it to roar. I want to get the tip of this boat up and out of that water, and I want it chugging over every wave, you know. And I got to do it with processes, organization, and structure, and I do it with a great team. It goes back to I can only be as good, or Pappy's can only be as good as the people that run it and lead it on a day-to-day basis. And we're working on that. We're 3 months in. You know, we're 3 months in. We got going back to opportunities and upside. I want to add delivery. I want to obviously we expanded the food and beverage offerings. You know, I want to expand possibly some late night hours on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'd love to do summer events, you know, where we shut down the parking lot. Yeah. I see every other pizza operator and sandwich operator. I see them as competitors. I see them as friends, because I appreciate any restaurateur who has endured the challenges of the pandemic and just weathering the storm. Besides local restaurateurs, I'd love to invite local independent artists, operators who have a tabletop, shut down the parking lot, just offer some soda and slices and let everybody come in and just have a great, great, great time, you know. So with summer events, and then one of the biggest things I'd love to bring back with a vibe, you know, I this is a very powerful word. I want people to come to Pappy's and feel the vibe. So with the vibe, I define that as I mentioned earlier, Instagrammable moments, music, a great atmosphere, and is a good brunch, you know, is a weekend brunch or breakfast, you know, and because it went away, 12, 14 years ago. Right. And I know there's upside there. But I will not roll it out until it can be executed correctly. It goes back to delivering a premium product with value. So my day-to-day is putting people in places. I believe in this phrase, aces in places. Mm-hmm. And I work with my team. Yeah. I work with the restaurant leadership. And I call myself, I'm not the owner of Pappy's. I'm just a continuous improvement manager.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that as well.
When I sign under the Pappy's letterheads, it doesn't say owner. I prefer humbleness, and I'm not the owner.
Right.
I'm here to carry a legacy forward. I am the continuous improvement manager. Mm-hmm. And my goal each and every day is, how can I make Pappy's better? Every little thing that I see. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I was just at Pappy's and I was looking at ketchup bottles, and then I'm looking at it's the little things. It's truly the littlest of things. It's a funny thing, it's the little things. I can't tell you how many customers, I'll give you one example. The salt and pepper shakers that I put in, all they are is these cute little 2-inch adorable salt and pepper shakers. And of all things, I hear customers, when I put them on the table, they're like, "These are these are so cute. It's so adorable." And then I noticed, like 2 weeks later, we had 60 salt and pepper shakers, and we're down to like 15. And I'm like, they really are very cute and adorable. So I'm buying more salt and pepper shakers.
Right.
And then I'm buying more salt and pepper shakers, and I'm like, I'm going to get some stickers made up, and I'm going to put them on the bottom of these salt and pepper shakers.
Yeah.
That say, because I get it. They're cute, and everyone has grabbed a shot glass from somewhere, or everyone has taken a beer glass from somewhere, and we all go home. And they all have the giddiness when they pull it out. When they pull it out of their cabinet, their shot glass. I got this from this restaurant. You know, and it's neither here nor there. I'm like, I know no matter what, that's going to happen. You know, it's a cost of doing business. And how do I turn this into a positive marketing moment? I'm going to get a 1-inch sticker with the Pappy's emoji on the bottom.
Oh my, yeah.
He turned the eyeball, he turned Pappy, Chef Pappy's eyeball into a wink with his tongue sticking out. And I'm going to put these on the bottom of the salt and pepper shakers that say, I stole these from
Pappy's. I love that.
No, every time they go home and they turn their salt and pepper shaker upside down, they're going to see the sticker. But now it just makes it a positive moment. It's not so much the missing salt and pepper shakers, but it's the little things. It goes back to it's truly the little things that will make Pappy's the difference.
Yeah, that'll give people like a little bit of, you know what? I'm definitely going to go back because that's funny.
Yeah. Actually, probably putting the stickers on will make more salt and pepper shakers stolen. Yeah,
that is a catch 22.
We're not advertising stealing the salt.
Do not steal the salt and pepper.
Please, I know you want to steal these. But that's to answer your question. My day to day is truly focusing on. I dot the I's, cross the T's on every menu, every line item. I'm looking to deliver the most value. Working with food vendors that we're in a commodity market where vegetable prices are changing by the week. Meat products, poultry products, prices are changing by the week. But every restaurant company deals with this. Is you can't print menus by the week. And the business model of every restaurant is you have to have budgets. You have to know your labor costs, your food costs, your overhead, your utilities, and then you have to price accordingly. You know, and there are some people who truly get it and understand it. Most people do because we see these prices and these cost increases at grocery stores and even McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's we have to price our products accordingly. And fortunately, I think Pappy's in comparison to other operators in the community, we're priced right, but we're trying to do the best we possibly can. And hopefully, as time progresses, we can do better.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever see yourself coming back to New Hampshire, Manchester in general?
I've dedicated myself for the last 8 months. It's truly a passion project. 12 to 14 hour days dedicated, because at the end of the day, it's all on me.
Yeah.
You know, if Pappy's doesn't execute properly, it can't deliver that product with value the way I want it to, who's ultimately responsible?
Right.
Yeah.
Me. So I'm doing everything I possibly can from a marketing standpoint, from a remodel standpoint, from a product standpoint, from truly, truly care and appreciate my team at Pappy's. They mean so much to me. Could it possibly happen one day? But it could possibly happen. Never say never. If I needed to be in Pappy's every day in order for Pappy's to execute and open its doors, I do, and I have been. I've spent 95% of my time, probably 98% of my time since October here in Manchester to get Pappy's tip of that boat to get it running out of the water. And the remodel, we dedicated 3 months to the remodel. That's where everyone was so anxious of what's taking so long. That remodel process would have probably taken any other company 6 months. I mean, it was a complete exterior remodel.
Shine. When you go in,
it is
shine.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's like going back to bipartisan product on politics. It was in the car remodel. If you go into the kitchen, if anyone takes a kitchen tour, you can see the kitchen through the panoramic window where Ron's desk was. But it's like a brand new engine is in that 1982 Trans Am. Every corner, there's no corner that went untouched. I remember when the health department inspected Pappy's, and the health inspector, she took pictures of the Pappy's kitchen. And she's like, this is the precedent that I would love every restaurant to be in.
Wow.
It's like, this is unbelievable. This is like the cleanest, most amazing restaurant. And if I can take pictures, I would truly appreciate it. And that's the beacon that I want Pappy's legacy to follow. I want people to always be able to trust the food. Trust food, trust is everything. Yeah. So going into the dining room, you know, you hear, you know, typical like on social media, oh no, like you mentioned, is it becoming a Mexican restaurant?
You're right.
Oh, Pappy's will never be the same. Are they changing this or are they changing that? No, I don't want to change anything that Pappy's did great. Mm-hmm. Anything that Pappy's could possibly do better that they weren't doing before is what I want to focus on. So going into the dining room, I also don't want to take away that nostalgia. there's not many restaurant opportunities that you can take over that have been in business for 40 years. There's goodwill associated with that. There's not many restaurants that you can take over that have done so much for charities that you can continue that legacy on. Pappy's was one of them. There's not too many things where the founder and the family, the Pappas family, has done so much for the community where you can take over and continue that goodwill. So rolling into the dining room, I'm like, how do I balance the people who on one side say, man, this place is tired. It needs a definite remodel, right. You know? And then on the other side, I hope they don't change anything.
Right.
Well, if I don't change anything in Pappy's wouldn't have survived. Pappy's would be dust, and it would probably be called Bob's Diner on the corner of Main Street USA here in Elm Street. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, no, I'm going to keep the Pappy's name. I was very fortunate and grateful that Kasia and Scott let me do that,
yeah.
You know, because that means a lot to them. They could have easily have said, you know, you can take it, but without the name. But I'm like, no, I want to, then the name is everything.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, everything, yeah.
And and so with the dining room, I call it bipartisan politics. Pappy's is a landmark, not just for the, as we know, for the city of Manchester, but presidents, governors, mm-hmm. mayors. Even when I was a toast boy at Pappy's, I remember making Al Gore's toast.
Wow.
And that was like, it's not really bragging rights you want a high schooler to have. Like, yeah, I made Al Gore's toast. And I'm like, yeah, the Secret Service didn't even check it. Uh-huh. I could have. Yeah, yeah. I'm not a Democrat. You know, but no, I buttered his toast to the edges to everyone else. But no, a lot of people have used Pappy's Pizza just as a stopping ground for their, as they journey through their path of politics. And and I wanted to keep, when people walk into Pappy's Pizza, they see the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
They see Pappy's and they see Pappy's 2.0. It's we turned the, you know, we had, I think, 5 chairs at the bar before. And now there's 16 spots where you can sit down and enjoy a drink and watch a sporting event. We went from one 13-inch 1982 television in the upper corner, and I think there's like 11 TVs in there now, you know, all the way up to the 85-inch TV where you can watch the big game on. It's truly the best of both worlds. And a lot of people ask, are the chicken tenders the same? Is the steak and cheese the same? Just come in and taste it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, our reviews are almost 5.0. We have 4.5 reviews, and we want to continue that legacy. And I guarantee you, and I adore her so much because she hand cuts that steak every day.
Yep.
We have choice cut steak with the same exact recipe. The chicken tenders are the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. We make our pizzas fresh to order, and we want to deliver freshness each and every day. So it's like we want to continue the, again, when you're in the restaurant business, food quality is everything.
Yes.
So it's the model, and I remember Ronnie saying, he used to say this word so much, is he used to sit out, take phone orders at lunchtime. He used to look into the kitchen and call out orders and used to always say, make sure that cheese is melted on that steak and cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a great outdoor sign going up right now that, you know, it's Pappy's Pizza and Subs. Pizza has cheese. The steak and cheese has melted cheese all throughout. Choice hand-cut steak tips. And on the outdoor sign is a huge Say Cheese sign, which is going to be lit up, illuminated.
I love that.
And it's an Instagrammable moment for families. But he used to always say, that's so tasty. That's so tasty. You know, when he used to pop open the lid of people's pizzas, he used to tell the customer, that's so tasty, but I knew he was counting my pepperonis.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I was showing some pizza toppings to one of our cooks, and I share that story.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's an example utilizing that same story of food cost. It's like, why? I'm actually using the same story he taught me where you count the pepperonis, you know, But I know everyone, you know, I've gotten great compliments and I've gotten some reviews where we have opportunities to improve. And I appreciate any critic, and I appreciate every compliment. So that's the goal.
If you don't have haters, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. Well, no matter, and everyone says, who understands it, no matter what you do, you can't make everyone happy. But my goal each and every day is to make everyone happy. And if they have something to complain about, I'm going to get them with kindness.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, just like McDonald's, if you go through, how many times in everyone's life has McDonald's mixed up an order?
Mm-hmm.
Do we go back to McDonald's? Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Right. But my goal is to make every order 100% correct. And I'm going to do it with kindness. If I did something wrong, just give me a simple opportunity to fix it. I want to turn the 4.5 reviews across the board into 5.0s. Our mm-hmm. goal is to each and every one of us, no matter if you're at Pappy's, you're a customer, you're an employee, you're a person, you're an individual, we wake up tomorrow and we say, what can we do better? That's it. We are our own continuous improvement manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I admire so much that kind of uneasiness that you had jumping into this. And you, in all honesty, you took that car, you kept the body of the car, you kept the engine, but you did your modifications, you put some new upholstery, and you didn't just drive the car, but you let your whole team drive the car, and they help you out. And it's fantastic for anyone listening to see, you know, putting people in the right place and having the right team around you is what is still continuing this legacy of Pappy's.
Oh, I can't do it without them. I mean, every restaurant, every day, if from a customer, I welcome people to walk into any restaurant and just truly count the people that are working there. Every restaurant and the service industry employees, they deserve so much commendation and appreciation, because it takes a lot to run that machine. You can go into any restaurant and some restaurants have 8 people, some have 12, some have 20. You know, and if those people aren't there, the assembly line doesn't run. You know, it truly takes a team. If I don't have amazing people by my side, I can't unlock the door to Pappy's every day. And it's like, even with this labor shortage, we have some amazing brands out there that service Pappy's, and they're like, you are not the only ones. I mean, we're a nationally branded company. Mm-hmm. We have challenges getting the right people in place. So again, Pappy's can only be as strong as the people that represent it. And I'm very fortunate and thankful that I have those people in place. I can't do it without them.
Now, if there was, you've been in Manchester, you said, for about 8 months, you know, pretty much full time, mm-hmm. getting this place up and running. You know, we're Manchester based, New Hampshire based. If there was one thing right now, obviously, aside from all the Pappy stuff, that you could change about Manchester as a whole, what would you do?
Yeah. That's a touching one, because I know they're working really, really, really hard on it. Is what I see is the city homelessness. People mm-hmm. who are going through their own adversity.
Yeah.
Fighting the demons.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out in their own way how to beat the demon, you know, their own internal challenges, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's interesting because I see it. Whew, it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of people know people who were the demons one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, anyway, so I see it because I've dropped.
You're okay. Take your time. You're good.
I feel for these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In life, you can have empathy. For some people, it can be your greatest strength.
Uh-huh.
It can also be your greatest weakness. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Me dropping food off from Pappy's, which I do.
Yeah, just take your time.
Yeah. That's a Band-Aid fix, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, great. They don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. I just pull up in my car. I got all these bags of food. I leave it over there, right there by the police station. Leave it on the doorstep and pull away. So many times I just stop the car. You look in the rearview mirror. You're thankful mm-hmm. that you can mm-hmm. give them a temporary moment. Mm-hmm. To enjoy a great meal. It's like potluck. They just open up and they grab it, you know. And and you figure out what in life they've gone through adversity. They've looked for remedies that they thought could heal them that ended up sinking them lower and lower and lower.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, everybody knows somebody where They didn't, the demons won, mm-hmm. you know. And you think, and I've been to many cities traveling when we were growing our restaurant company, and I think as an outsider, how is it that other cities can manage homelessness? It what appears to be with a system that might be working, because I don't see as much of it as much, let's say, panhandling, because they're right. looking for opportunities. You just don't see them camping out on sidewalks where they have no place to go. And I know the community and the leadership is doing everything they possibly can to better the circumstances, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So when people visit the city, you know, and you see this, and you see people who are in need, who need that beacon of opportunity, and I'm sure that the people who are coordinating all this are doing everything in their power to better the situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they have measures in place where other cities are doing it and are having success, you know, where they give people an opportunity and a place to stay and a place to go and creating better, you know, programs to support these people. Right. And they lean on other cities who are having success. And it's like, that's something I have a lot of hope for, and I know they're going to pull it off, and they're going to execute Definitely. It in Pappy's, whatever we can do, we're here to help.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I mean, it's like we were talking about earlier, if it was easy, everyone would, you know, right. do it. Everyone would fix that problem. I think there's a lot more that goes into it. And I really resonate with your take, you know, just if you can show empathy and provide some sort of help to these people in any way you can, that's the best way to do it.
Look, adversity hits everyone. Mm-hmm. They all get hit with that inner voice. We use the example of dieting, mm-hmm. you know, earlier, where get off the couch. Right. It's a diet, you know. These people are getting signals from their mind that says, I don't care. Give me this now, some way, somehow. And they can't turn it off because it's chemical energy that they right. just truly yeah. cannot shut off.
Right.
And a temporary remedy is the quickest remedy, and they can't beat that demon, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. it's very, very tough. And there's a lot of people, including their own loved ones, that say, hey, they haven't hit rock bottom yet. They just haven't hit rock bottom yet.
Right.
Or there's government sponsorships, or there's government aid, and they just haven't. They. Everyone has their own opinion. But how about in lieu of an opinion, you say, how can I contribute? What can I do? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's volunteering. You don't have to reach into your pocket. Manchester is the only sign in all the cities that I've ever traveled, and it resonates in my mind. Mm-hmm. It's on the corner. The street sign is on the corner of Bridge Street and Beach Street. And on the sign where the panhandler still stands
yes,
to this day.
Yes, yep.
The sign says, and I've never seen such a street sign in all the cities, the biggest cities, the smallest cities. I've never seen such a sign like this. But it resonates because on one hand, it's so true. And that is, if you panhandle and contribute to this person, you are enabling them.
Right.
And it makes sense. It makes logistical sense. You know, mm-hmm. and it's like, but there are other ways to help them. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's like there are people who roll down their window and give that $1. Because that $1 is possibly contributing to enabling them. Because what do most do? Mm-hmm. Some will go get their snack at the 7-Eleven a block away and feed themselves, but others will use it for desperate measures. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what does that $1 really do? It's a temporary fix of, I did my part. Mm-hmm. I feel good now.
Right.
You know, I helped this person. You know, who are you really helping? Are you helping that person, or are you helping yourself for a temporary feel good moment?
Yeah. Right.
We all want to contribute and help. Do we want a temporary fix, or are there ways to, and the people who are professionals and experienced in this great challenge that faces every city in America, mm-hmm. is to truly help these people with the best help we possibly can.
And, you know, to circle it back to everything, I think that the way that Ron kind of took a chance on you and he really supported you through this, and he gave you something that you didn't have, right? Like, he was almost a father figure to you.
Right.
I think that implementing more of what Pappy's is doing, and more community, and really giving people a reason to wake up in the morning, that's what's going to do it, right? if you feel like you can be a contribute to something, if you feel like you can contribute to Pappy's Pizza and you know, make Ron proud, which I'm sure he's extremely proud of you, and you should know that, and you're doing a great job, I think that is the way out.
The Ron Pappas, including his family, they had, because they continued the legacy of that charitable giving, right? Ron did so much for Easter sales. He even hired people with disabilities. He gave back in so many ways. He was in, when I was updating the logos of Pappy's, the undertone of Ron is the big heart, you know, and I integrated his heart into every logo at Pappy's, keeping the chef emoji, and the chef Pappy, happy Pappy.
Yeah.
So when people, when I can't, it's probably why you invited me in here and today, when people say Pappy's, they say, I love Pappy's.
Yes.
And over again, that was the most redundant phrase. I love Pappy's. Yeah. And one of the things Pappy's didn't have before, but what has now, is a website, which people will be able to do, you know, 1, 2, 3-click ordering for delivery. But the website is ilovepappys.com. The Instagram handle will be I Love Pappy's. The same thing with Facebook, you know, but and then in the reverse of that, when the employees wear a shirt, it's Pappy's truly loves you.
Yeah.
Everything he ever did was out of love. There was somebody who was a paraplegic. It didn't hold him back. And not only did it not hold him back, he gave back in every way, shape, or form. A lot of people don't realize this, and I wish we had more pictures to Pappy's Nation. But Ronnie, in the 1980s, he bought the city of Manchester's pizza mobile, the library bus.
We were going to ask this.
Yes, this is fantastic. Okay, yep.
All right, and it was, I don't know how long that bus was, 30 feet long plus.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And my brother was actually, my oldest brother, Norman, worked. He drove that bus to so many events with 2 100-pound propane tanks going full speed down the highway. And it was like, how he didn't blow that back half of that bus up is beyond me. That was if someone even probably touched that rear bumper at 5 miles an hour, would have lit up. Running. And my brother still would have kept driving with half the bus.
Yeah, yeah,
with that back of that bus off the flames. But he was, I don't think he gets the credit for this, but in the early 1980s, I truly think that the Pappy's Pizza Mobile was the first food truck in the United States. There was nobody that was serving. He put an oven in that thing. He ripped out the side of it, created a serving window. He drove that thing down to all the concerts down here in Manchester on the Merrimack River. He drove it up to the Speedway in Laconia, any concert that was going around. He was the first food truck. I don't know of any other food truck in the early 1980s. And then he created a second miniature Pizza Mobile Jr. for smaller events. He truly was an amazing, never mind a great, going back to all the things he did on a personal note, he was one of the best restaurant operators that can be, that he obviously learned from his father, Nick. You know, his father, Nick, ran Pappy's Pizza and Subs out at Hampton Beach.
Wow, yeah.
Which created an amazing name for himself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the New Hampshire community have memories of dining at Pappy's Pizza's at Hampton Beach that would dedicate their summers to working at Pappy's Pizza at the beach. But going back to the Pizza Mobile, to be able to keep a restaurant going and a restaurant going at the beach where Nick and Scott led, and then Kasha and Ron worked primarily in here at the Pappy's Pizza in Manchester. And then to keep all these events going whenever they popped up, and him basically mentoring so many high school kids, you know, as their first jobs, it takes skill. It takes skill to be able to keep that going. He was a great, great operator. So
that's very impressive.
Yeah. It's and then it goes back to people's memories and reflecting and still being able to, you know, we got one last restaurant standing, you know, with brick and mortar location here on Elm Street, where people can still come in and reflect about those moments.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, John, you are literally, like, when we made this podcast, you were the you are the definition of the kind of person we wanted to have on, the kind of person that cares so much about, you know, carrying on the legacy, you know, making a place like Pappy's, you know, still continue on. It's so inspiring for anyone listening. And yeah, it's, as we kind of end the show right here, do you have any kind of final remarks or anything?
I appreciate the invite. I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to share what Pappy's is about. The team knows our goal is simply to make Pappy's the best it can be, you know, and if I was motivated, if someone analyzed anything on a piece of paper and said, does this make sense as a business investment? No, it makes totally no sense. But at the same time, I'm like, I can give 25 amazing people a tremendous opportunity to learn and grow. I can keep the legacy of Pappy's Pizza going for the next 40 years. I can try and deliver the best product, the best customer service, and with value to each and every customer, and I can grow Pappy's to help the community like Ron did. That's my goal.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
No, John, we thank you very much for coming on, and sorry for bugging you so much, but we really wanted to hear the
squeaky
story.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease, Tommy.
Yeah.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease. You persevered, and like we said, the motto of anything is you get out what you put in.
Yeah.
I'm really thankful and grateful for you inviting me in, and I appreciate your patience. It's Pappy's has been open for 3 months, going strong, and we're gonna keep it going. And I truly appreciate the opportunity. You guys are both gentlemen. Appreciate you.
Sweet. Awesome. Thank you. So, anyone, for listeners, you can reach the Pappy's website.
It's at ilovepappies.com. We're rolling out delivery here soon. Always welcome to order takeout at 603-623-3131. Same phone number for 40 years. Just
love
Google
that.
It.
Yeah.
Just Google it or come on in and dine in. The waitresses are tremendous. I give a couple shout outs to Debbie Miller. She's one of our waitresses. She's been there since day one.
Wow.
She's the queen of Pappy's.
Yep. Yep.
And bless her heart. We love her to death. Mm-hmm. And we have some other employees like Jose and Pumpkin who've been there for over 20 years.
Wow.
And I appreciate them so much. Loyalty is priceless. Mm-hmm. You know, Scott Pappas dedicated his life to Pappy's at the beach and here on Elm Street. And his sister, Kasia St. Jean, mm-hmm. dedicated 40 plus years of her life.
Fantastic.
Where everybody, she knew everybody's name. So a shout out to Kasia, a shout out to Scott, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, John.
Yep. Sweet. Thank you.
Yep.